I like our new hymnals. They have those sometimes a song, but next to it, next to the song, sometimes there's a verse there. And in our verses, or after that Haven of Rest song, right next to that, they have these verses, Psalm 107 and verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Sounds like New Testament to me. Verse 30, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's pretty much our message this morning. I don't know if Brother Rice got a hold of the notes or the hymnist there, but that's it. Sometimes we are in life and it's like, how on earth did I get here? On the positive side, how'd you get here this morning? Maybe someone invited you years ago. Maybe you were a kid and you were dragged to church. You had no option. Talking to Mr. Williams on the way in, I'm like, how's it going? He's like, we dropped both the boys off this morning. And how great that is. And I peek in and JP's fixing stuff and doing stuff. And Lincoln's just laying there looking cute. How'd you get to church? Was it the Lord guiding and directing? Was it a friend? Was it a family member? Was it an invitation? Maybe someone, hi, my name's Nick. This is Abby. We're from Walker Bob Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come to church. Does going to church make you a Christian? No, but man, it's a great opportunity to hear about the goodness of God. An opportunity to hear about the gospel. Sing praises together. I don't know how you got here. I'm glad you're here this morning. Man, oh, that we could just, I don't know about you, but it's sometimes nice to just walk into this building for a little while and just shut out the world for a little while. Maybe you're like me and have maybe vehicle troubles or this problem at the house, or, you know, we got water issues and gutters and, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And here you just don't deal with that much. Air conditioning's running, praise the Lord, today. Toilets are flushing, praise the Lord, today. The kids aren't in here screaming today. That's a blessing. And for a little while, you just get away from that. An opportunity to hear from God himself. Go with me to Acts chapter number 16. Just kind of go through this passage here this morning. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. Kind of ask that question, how did we get here? Acts chapter number 16, start in verse number 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That seems strange to me, yes? Do not take the gospel to Asia. Say, why not? It was probably someone else's job. See, the Lord has a path for each and every one of us. Isn't that good? He only told one guy to build a boat. Right? Noah. Thankfully. I'm no boat maker, Bud. I bet Bud can make a boat. He can make a big boat. 120 years, I bet you come up with a really cool boat. But he only told one guy to make a boat. Paul and Silas, they had a job, and it was not to go to Asia. Yeah, but I want to go to Asia. I'm going to go see the Orient. I would like to try some street food. I bet there's a great food chariot with Chinese food. No, Paul, you're not going there. Ever have the Lord tell you no? Ever have the Lord tell you no on something that you wanted to do? What'd you do after that? Did you listen? After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Hey, we want to go over here. And the Holy Spirit says, no, not over there. Well, then, if we can't go over there, see, that's what we do. We give God options. God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm either going to do this or that. And God says, actually, neither of those are my plan for you. We're going to go to Asia or Bithynia. What, God, you choose which one, but we're going to either one of those. And God says, no, it's actually not neither of those. How do you think Paul and Silas felt? They just had found Timothy. They were excited. The ministry was growing. God was working. And for a moment, see, here's the thing. For a moment, Paul and Silas thought they knew what God was doing. They thought God was leading. Here's our idea. Let's go here. Not there. Okay, we'll go over here. But God had a different plan. In verse 8. In verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you that we could assemble here today. And not sure how everyone got here one day, day one. But I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they stuck around. God, since then, I can guarantee life has been up and down. God, thank you for being with us as we heard, as we were reminded in Sunday school class today that in the hardest of days, you were there with us. God, what a great reminder. And God, sometimes life just doesn't make sense. Lord, I pray you'd help us to always praise thee. Lord, I ask that you'd bless this message here today. I pray that it'd be a help and encouragement to those that need it. Lord, we need you here right now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I don't know, you can imagine Paul and Silas, and here they were, and excited about the things of God, and God was working, and they thought so well that they thought, hey, I can make decisions without the Lord even. I know what's next. It's just natural. We went from here to there and over there, and God says, no, not over there. That was probably disheartening. Paul and Silas, ever have the Lord just kind of take you and just push you back out of the front line for a moment? That's what Paul and Silas were experiencing right there. Hey, they were very active. They were very involved. They've been through some things already up to this point. They've seen great things happen by the hand of God, and they're excited about what was next. And then as they decided, God said no. And then no over here. And then finally, God says, I'm going to take you to Macedonia. I'm actually going to send you to Macedonia. That wasn't our plan, but I guess we'll go. And the Bible says in verse 10, what a great, great response by them as they sought for the direction of the Lord, that they were still open to God. Sometimes we get a little bitter against the Lord when he doesn't answer our prayers. Ever experienced that? God, what do you want? And then he doesn't answer according to us, and then we get a little pouty with God. That's a dangerous place to be. Paul and Silas didn't get like that. No, they were still open, and God says, I want you to go to Macedonia. And you know what? When God leads, the Bible says that after we had seen the vision, immediately, underline that word immediately. That's important. When God tells you to do something, it's not when you get around to it. We're doing something at the house and asked one of the kids, hey, can you do this? And it was last night. Yeah, I'll get to it. I asked them this morning, did you do it? No, I'll get to it this afternoon. Man, it would be so nice if we responded to God with the same way Paul and Silas responded to the Lord. Here's what I want you to do. When I get around to it. I don't think that goes good with God. Sure, God is pleased with our obedience, but immediate obedience. When God led Paul and Silas and said, I want you to go to Macedonia, although their bags were packed for Asia and Bithynia, we can make an adjustment. Hey, we're going to Macedonia now. And there they were. They go into Macedonia. See, they didn't realize that God was working behind the scenes. We're going to see this. We've talked about this before, but the Bible says, after they had seen the vision, he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. This was not a vacation. This was not a trip of joy. This was for the work of the ministry. Verse 11. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came on with a straight course to Samothracia. There you are. and the next day to Neapolis. They set out. Hey, in your life, I don't know about you. I've had people ask me about visions before. Does God use visions? Well, I think visions can get a little tampered with. I think you need to be careful with visions. But I think we have a guide and direct for our life, the Word of God. Mingled with the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, I think we can count on those two things pretty well. I had a dream that, okay, maybe we'll give some thought to it, but we don't necessarily at this point in the church age in which we live, we don't give a lot of merit to dreams. We're kind of past that. We have the Word of God that leads us and guides us. So I had a dream one time, and that's why I'm here. God told me to go. Okay, great. I'm glad that you were led there. But I have a feeling there were a couple verses and the Holy Spirit leading behind all of that also. Go with me to John chapter 10. I can't get past John chapter 10. Why not? Because this is how God works. John chapter number 10, verse 1. We're just going to read the first 11 verses. And just with that thought in mind, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up over some other the way, the same as a thief and a robber. Hey, there's one way into the fold, right? And that's through the door that Jesus Christ opens. The Bible says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep, what is the next two words? By name. Hey, God knows about you. He knows a plan for you. He doesn't want you in Asia. He doesn't want you in Bithynia. He's got a plan. He's got a Macedonia for you. He's got a group of ladies meeting in Philippi that are waiting for Paul and Silas. The two parties had no idea, but God knew. And so when he calls your name and gives you direction, you better follow the shepherd. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. One of the things I've encouraged our young people year after year, adults year after year, that you personally can follow God. That when God speaks to you, you can hear his voice, make application, and say, yes, this is God leading me. The Bible says he knows your name. I'm going to ask you, do you know his voice? And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We can be in a group of people, a lot of peripheral noise, but if I shout out my child's name, they hear it. Why? Because they're tuned to my voice, or they ought to be. Sometimes there's selective hearing. All the other kids can hear me calling to that one. Hey, Dad's calling you. Everybody hears it but the one. I don't know. Sometimes we do that with the Lord too. God's leading a group this direction. All of a sudden, there's one trickling. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I didn't hear you. How did everybody else hear me and you didn't hear me? All right, very good. Here we are. The shepherd and the sheep. He knows you by name. Do you know his voice? Seems pretty straightforward, right? I mean, first five verses. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say to you, he goes, let me just make this really clear. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. He says these words, I am the good shepherd. So in your life, as we pursue God, and we pursue the leading of God in our life, God, where is it? What is it that you want me to do? Do you understand that God wants to communicate with us? He knows us by name. Ever see somebody? I saw someone at the store yesterday. I walked by. We kind of made eye contact. She gave a half smile. I gave a half smile. I knew her from somewhere, but I had no idea where, what the context was, and to pull her name out would have been a miracle. Do you understand that that's not like that with God? You come before his throne and he says, my child, and he calls you by name. And as we seek guidance in our life, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, whatever it is, God has an answer for us. He has direction for us. We don't need a vision. We don't need some crazy dream. We don't need that. We have the Word of God and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that leads us just perfectly fine. But can we hear that? Paul and Silas, back to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Why were they not in Asia? Because God said no. Well, what's wrong with Asia? We don't know. Is it possible? Let's just ask this question in our own life. Is it possible that God knows more than you and I? Is that possible? Are there things that God is aware of that we are unaware of? Yes. Well, what about Bithynia? Why not there? I don't know, but I know God wanted them to go to Macedonia. When they go into Macedonia, when they step into Philippi, why are they there? Because that is where God has directed them. They are there simply by this one fact. God sent Paul and Silas to Macedonia and to Philippi. What are we doing here? I have no idea. We're here to preach the gospel. To who? I'm sure it'll make sense when we get there. When they entered into those doors of the city and they stood there, they were there solely, purely because God sent them there. Let us be clear. Because there's going to be some things, hey, that come in our life, that come in your life, and you wonder, I'm not sure this is right. Times sometimes take a little, life takes a little dip sometimes, and if we're not 100% sure, I'm here because God sent me here, that could be a scary place. Paul and Silas are going to experience some difficulty, but they will go back to this thought. We are here because God sent us here. We can't doubt that. That's why it's so important to follow the Lord in everything. So here we go. They come into Philippi, Acts chapter 16, verse 12. From thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. Macedonia is the region. Philippi is the city and a colony. And we were there in that city abiding certain days. What are we doing there? Paul and Silas, they walk into Philippi, say, what are we doing? I don't know. This is where God sent us. Day one goes by. I mean, the falafel's great, but what are we doing here? I don't know. Day two, don't know. Day three, certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named what? Lydia. What do we know about Lydia? A seller of purple. It's like synonymous, right? And there they met and they worshiped God. And there she, the Bible says in verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. All of a sudden, it's all starting to make sense, right? There they were. God, they leave Troas. They don't go to Asia. They don't go here. They go to Macedonia. They go to the head city. They go to Philippi. They walk in. They're there a number of days. They go down at the Sabbath day down to the river. There's a group of ladies that are meeting and praying. They meet Lydia. She gets saved. Her family gets saved. They all get baptized maybe in that exact same waters that they've been praying by. And all of a sudden, God is working. A church is beginning. in the city of Philippi. And Paul and Silas are like, this is unbelievable. I cannot believe this. Who knew? I mean, there were people just here waiting, and God is orchestrating all this. This is wonderful. I love the ministry, right? I mean, this is where they're at. They're high-fiving for God. Exciting things. Hey, we're about to take a trip. I forget how many miles it is. I think it's like 7,000 miles from here to Zambia. It's a long way, Mrs. Rice. And we're going to walk into a place to people that we don't know, and all of a sudden our heart is going to break, and we're going to love on these kids and these adults, and we're going to get an opportunity maybe even to see some people saved and baptized, and we're going to be crying, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, what? And then we're going to come back, and if I can travel 7,000 miles to go do that for Jesus in Africa, I'm going to do that here, and we're going to get all excited about the things of God. It's going to be wonderful. Say, is that why you take Mr. Tripp? Yes! Absolutely. 100%. Have an opportunity to be a help. Touch our heart about reaching others. That's Paul and Silas, right? Here they are. And she's begging, please stay here. Please, we need someone to teach us the Word of God. All right, I guess it will. Right? I mean, this is that. Fine. Please tell us more about the Lord. All right, fine. They're excited. Verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. Oh, great, another lady. No, stay away from that lady. She's nuts. She has a spirit of divination. What's that? That's witchcraft. Which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. See, is that stuff real? That stuff's real. Not so much here do we see that, but I'm telling you, in Africa, you see a lot of that stuff. Witch doctors are for real. Brother Barnhouse always, forget it. Never mind. Okay. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. The crazy lady, possessed with the devil, spirit of divination, able to do soothsaying. Say, what is that? Witchcraft. Telling everybody. He said, the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned to the Spirit and said, I command it. This lady's nuts. She's over here. She's got a little crystal ball and, scary and eye of a newt. And she's mixing stuff. And she's telling you about the days and the stars and all that crazy stuff. And then she comes out where Paul and Silas are preaching and say, hey, listen to that guy. And he's like, man, lady, you got an awful testimony. By you saying that, it just brings a dark cloud to Christianity. And he says, in the name of Jesus, he says, right? I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. Her masters saw this and they're like, oh, this is not good. Why? Because the power of Paul? No, because of the money that they made off this lady. Here she is with her, she has a little deck of cards and tarot cards and all that mess. That's wickedness. Her son's name was Harry Potter or something like that. And that's just a mess. That's why we get our kids away from that stuff. Say, oh, it's just kid stuff. It doesn't mean anything. Hey, that stuff's real here. It's contrary to Jesus Christ. You be careful with what you let your guard down. And all of a sudden the master's like, this is not good. Why? Because our money-making scheme has just gone out the door, literally. Gone. There they are in Philippi. Paul and Silas are there. They had the first convert. And now what? An infringement upon the wealth of these that are doing wrong. How does that go? I'm sure it went great. I mean, Paul, by his own word, just says, come out of her, and whammo. That's amazing. There she is. All of a sudden, she comes back, and she's got curlers in her hair, and she looks normal, and she's happy and smiling, and she's not like, hey, I need a little bit of your, tooth, and, I'm making this. And it's gone. That's all done. Burned her tarot cards, carrying a King James Bible. Not that, but you understand. Singing just as I am. I mean, this lady's been converted. breaking her little crystal ball. That stuff's gone. Torn it down. Said, I was a sham. I was a mess. Hey, you want real power? Paul's like, this is amazing. Why are they there? Because God sent them there. When her master saw this, verse 19 of chapter 16. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Well, this could go one of two ways. They're going to either be really happy we just did this, or this is going to come down bad. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, see, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city. They were okay with the demon-possessed, soothsaying woman. There's something messed up with that. You Christians that want babies to be born, want people to walk in righteousness, you are the problem. What? Two genders. You are so oppressing to people. That's what God says. They're good with murder. They're good with greed and lust and stealing. What they're not good with is righteousness. This isn't new. 2,000 years ago, two guys walk into a city, turn the city upside down because they preached Jesus Christ. They were able to get along. Do you see? They were able to get along with the demon-possessed woman. So they bring them up and they're like, these two Jews right here, they're a problem. They do exceeding trouble our city. They did exceeding trouble to their pocketbooks is what there was. Their God. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. All of a sudden, they get patriotic for a moment. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Nothing new for Paul and Silas. I'm not looking for that. These guys get beaten for what? Why are they there? Why are they in Philippi? Because God told them to go there. This wasn't their plan. This wasn't their thought. Paul wanted to go to Asia. God said Macedonia, leads them to Philippi, meets Lydia, church started, demon-possessed woman. And now they're getting beaten. At what point does Silas look at Paul and go, are you sure you heard Macedonia right? Because I wasn't in that vision. You were asleep, actually. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, God told me to go to Macedonia. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. One ever doubt the leading of God in your life? Anybody? When do you do that? When things are going well? No. When you're stripped naked and beaten? The Bible says in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I don't think Paul and Silas were a threat. Threat to run, threat to get out. The Bible says in verse 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Here they are beaten. I'm a wimp. I get a hangnail and I'm done for the day. I'm out. It hurts right here. Every time I do this, I'm done. I can't do wood. I can't do dishes. I'm done. It's over. Break job done. I'm out. These guys are beaten with stripes many times. They're in not just prison, the inner prison, and their feet are locked to the ground. First, we found a pursuit of God's calling. Secondly, it led them to Philippi. Thirdly, now they find themselves in prison. I'm thankful to say, up 44 years going, I've never, Liam, not one day, have I been in prison where I couldn't get out. Say, what do you mean? Are you good at getting out of prison? Yes, because I go in lawfully, and then they let us out. We used to have a prison ministry. I haven't spent one day in prison. Haven't spent one day in jail. Handcuffs only when the DARE officer came to our school in fifth and sixth grade and showed us what handcuffs feel like. That's it. Say, I can't identify. I've never been in prison. Can we just venture away from the prison thought for a second? And just maybe a point in your life, a place where you never thought you would have been led by God. I think about prison. Again, I've never been there. I don't know what it's like. I can't identify. I've read a little bit, but isolation, discomfort, doubts. In a prison is where you keep criminals. And here Paul and Silas are fat, their backs torn apart, their feet locked to the ground, sitting next to prisoners and wrongdoers, murderers, thieves. That's who's in prison. People, they got caught doing wrong things. I can imagine very high levels of depression. If Rick was here, we could ask. But I'm going to go ahead and I feel confident in being able to say these things. I'm going to ask you in your life, although maybe you've not been behind a prison wall, but in your life, have you ever been led by the Lord and all of a sudden you found yourself in a place of isolation, discomfort, doubt, and depression? Because that's where Paul and Silas were. But we go back to the one fact. We wanted to go to Asia. He said no. We wanted to go here. We said no. And he led us here. Say, why is that so important? Because that changes everything. We said all that to lead up to this verse. Verse 25. And at midnight. What were you doing last night at midnight? The answer should be sleeping. I was standing out at the door, standing there just fellowshipping with Sam a little bit. Some of you looked like you got in a little later than midnight. I'm just saying. Maybe you were up, maybe just praying for today or whatever. But most people at midnight are sleeping. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, in prison, having just been beaten for no wrongdoing, prayed and sang praises unto God. If there's one thought I want you to walk away with here, write it down. Do not let the prison steal your praise. Do not let prison steal your praise. Say, I feel alone. I feel discomforted. I have doubts. I'm wondering what's going on. I'm depressed. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Been taken with this passage, Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Bible says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I wonder if Paul and Silas were singing, and all right, everybody now on verse 3. You might not know the verses, but just jump in on the chorus. Hey, thief over here, if you can do the harmonies this time, it would really be helpful. No, they were singing and being in that middle place. I don't think they were singing for the prisoners. It says this, and they sang praises unto God. They were just praising God for what had happened. Say, what had happened? They were beaten. They were stripped naked. They were beaten. And they're locked into the ground in the inner prison. And Lydia was saved. And her family. And a church started in Philippi. And some crazy soothsaying, demon-possessed enchantress trusted Christ. And now she's walking around singing Blessed Assurance. And she's going, that was worth this. They prayed. From what I read in scriptures, a big portion of prayer is thanking God. I wonder if they thank God. Thank you for all that you've done this last week. Be careful that we not let the prison steal our praise. Yeah, you may find yourself in a place you never thought, God, I never thought you'd leave me here. I mean, we were doing good for you. We were going forward for you, and now. And you may find yourself maybe not physically in prison. Obviously, I hope you don't feel like that this morning. But maybe spiritually, you're just struggling. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 62. It says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. What time did Paul and Silas start their little prayer meeting? Midnight. At midnight I will rise to give thanks. Again, when they prayed, I just got to think part of their prayer time was that of thanksgiving. See, that doesn't make sense. That's what it said they did. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for the difficulties in your life? When Paul and Silas, on that Sabbath day, go down to the river and they meet Lydia and the ladies that were there praying, and there they share the gospel, and all of a sudden, in the name of the Lord, we're going to do it tonight. I mean, we bring him down and bring him back up. Miss Nadia, I mean, that's good, right? And they look at that and go, man, God is good. But somehow that thought transpired all the way over into the prison. As they're locked into the thing, as their backs are bleeding, they're sitting there thinking, God is good. Hey, if God is good in the good times, he's got to be good in the difficult times. Remember our rejoice in the Lord. Next word. Always. How are you doing with that? See, we've tried to follow the Lord. I find myself in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't. If God was working behind the scenes with the ladies at the and the crazy lady, don't you think he might be working? If we could just stick it out just a little bit. If you can just stick it out just a little bit. It's amazing what can transpire if you don't lose your praise in the prison. Say, what happens? Well, there they were rejoicing. Can I show you just a couple verses? Colossians chapter number 3. And then we'll conclude our story. We're almost done. I don't know. I hope it's as exciting to you as it is me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So what do we see? We see peace We see thankfulness. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There they were, Paul and Silas, thanking God in prayer, singing praise. You know what God gave them? Peace. Say, how do you know that? Because that's what he says he does. Do you know Paul wrote Colossians? So he can testify. In Ephesians chapter 5, a similar passage. Again, thanksgiving. I want you to look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. It sounds like their prison scene, does it not? At midnight, what did they do? They started praying. And they were patient in their tribulation. And then they rejoiced. And what were they granted? Hope, faith, trust in God. I don't care what the circumstances. Don't let some prison steal your joy. Don't let some difficult time, a dip in life, steal your ability to rejoice in God and praise the Lord. You'd miss out. And there they were, and they sang. And the Bible says that the prisoners heard them in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Go back there, Acts 16. We'll conclude our story. Was God working with the soothsaying lady? Yes. Was God working with Lydia and her group and her family? Yes. Was God working in the prison? Well, I don't know. I mean, that's hard. Answer the question. Of course he is. Is he working in your prison of spiritual life right now? The isolation, the discomfort, the doubts, the depression? Yes. Just stick it out a little bit. Don't let the prison steal your praise, because guess what's coming? An earthquake, and it's going to turn the whole thing upside down. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and immediately one bands were loosed. Unbelievable. Let's think about this. There is a earthquake in the prison, and the only thing that is destroyed are the gates and doors that open. Say, I don't know if God was in that. God was in that. There was a guy, and he was said, here's your job. You keep them, the word is safely. That means alive. Keep them safely, as in, if they get out, we're going to take your life. And it's not going to be a pleasant experience. We have ways of making it painful. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, right? And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. I bet everybody left except for two guys. He takes out a sword. Shing! I don't know if it was big or not, but for this illustration, it was. And it's big, and he's got it at his heart or his head. I don't know what you do. About to take his own head off, I don't know. Paul cries out, says, hey, hold on, we're here, do thyself no harm. Why wouldn't you leave? Because if the principal was right back at the water, and if the principal was right with the crazy demonic woman, then the principal was right at the prison. God has us here for a purpose. And Paul, so in touch with the Holy Spirit of God and God himself, saw the need of the man over his need of, I got to get out of here and get some fresh air. This is God's exit plan. I mean, this is MacGyver right here. This is what we're living, right? I mean, doors open, we are out of here. Mission Impossible theme song playing in the background. Why didn't Paul and Silas move? Because they saw the need of the jailer over their need. It's amazing what you see in prison. It's amazing when you go through a hard time in your life, how all of a sudden you notice different needs around you. You see someone at the grocery store now, and they have a makeup run down their face, and you think, and you don't think, wow, that person's crazy. You think, I bet they're going through a rough time because I've been there. Not personally makeup running down my face, but you understand. You see the guy just leaning up against the hood of his car with the hood open and the jack underneath, and you're like, I've been there. All of a sudden, you would have passed by. But because you spent some time in prison, all of a sudden you're aware of different needs around you. Paul and Silas were aware of the needs that were around them. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He says, I want what you got. I want what you were singing about. I heard your prayers. It was my job to keep you safe. I was right on the other side. I want the gospel. I want the thing of why you're here. I've heard you talk to God for the last hour. I've heard all the songs. I want what you got. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Imagine if the prison stole Paul and Silas's praise. The jailer would have never have come. Imagine if they could hear him sing, they could have heard him complain. Ever complain about what God's doing in your life? You think nobody's listening. There's little ears down the hall. All that church, all they care about, it. Those people, God. Be careful while you're in the prison. You don't lose your praise because there's people listening. And the Lord does another amazing work. Please remember that God is always working. To hear them means that they were listening. And a whole household trusted Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you this morning, how are you handling the prison? Is there praise going on? Is there prayer going on? Or have you got doubts? Have you gotten discouraged and discomforted? Have you pulled back from the things of God? Or has went just as good as when he was pouring out the blessings? Is it just as good now? Be careful that you not give up on your praise while in the prison. Let's all stand. We went long. It's almost 12:30. Unbelievable. So what are we going to do? We're going to have an altar call. We're going to open it up, and maybe you find yourself, I know, not physically in the prison, but maybe spiritually you're asking God, I'm not quite sure what you're doing in my life here. Don't give up the praise. Why? Because there's people listening. Whole family got saved because Paul and Silas didn't lose their praise. Maybe you're here this morning and saying, I'm struggling. Maybe you need to come talk to the Lord. That's what they started with. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Maybe you need to come. Maybe it's been a while since you thank God for the difficulties. We don't know how long they were in prison. Say, how long does this prison sentence last? I don't know. It's up to God. But if God led you here, you better know he's working around you. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, hey, that was the most important thing. That's what everybody wanted. Lydia, the crazy woman, the jailer, everybody. They needed to be saved. No difference for you. I love this in verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Hey, can we sing the song? Can we sing the song together that I heard you singing back there? in the prison, at my table. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. And God, may we be honest with you. May we be open to your leading and your guiding, thankful for where you've led us. God, help the prison not steal our praise. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?